On Monday, we read from your letters. Several of you wrote in during our program on daily life in Iraq to ask why we did not report on a story being carried that same day on the Associated Press. Reporters from the AP visited Iraqi hospitals, reviewed documents, and concluded that at least 3,240 Iraqi civilians died during a month of fighting. Well, we did call, but the Associated Press declined to comment on their story. We've asked Mark Garlasco to join us. He's a senior military analyst at Human Rights Watch, and he's just returned from Iraq, where he and a team investigated civilian casualties and the conduct of the war. And Mark Galasco, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much.
Those figures from the AP, are those the most accurate that you're aware of to date?
They are accurate to date. I'm certain the AP did a fine job going through the hospitals in Iraq. But the thing we have to remember, their number is conservative and it's going to be lower than the actual count. First of all, separating civilian and military casualties in Iraq was a very difficult situation. Secondly, you have the hospital records in Iraq are incomplete at best. So while AP did a fine job going hospital to hospital, in fact, their number is going to be on the conservative side.
And to be fair, the Associated Press suggested that in its own story. Counting casualties is always going to be very difficult. Do you have any idea when or if we're going to get a better estimate?
I don't know that anyone really is going to able to be accurate on civilian casualties in Iraq. And in fact, we would put forward that the actual number of civilians killed in Iraq is not so important as why they were killed. We were going around Iraq in 5 weeks, went to 10 different cities to look at the conduct of the war, how the U.S. and U.K. fought the war, how the Iraqis fought the war, and what led to civilian casualties. Certainly the massive use of cluster bombs in densely populated civilian areas by the U.S. and U.K. Also the decapitation strikes that the U.S. made were in densely populated civilian areas. And when they went after Saddam and Chemical Ali, for example, these were in areas where you had large civilian casualties caused by those bombings. Additionally, the Iraqi irregular forces operating in civilian areas and performing civilian shielding led to civilian casualties.
Well, Mark Garlasco, we'd like to invite you back once the study's complete.
I'd be very happy to come back and speak about our findings.
Mark Garlasco is a senior military analyst at Human Rights Watch, and he was with us from his office in Washington. Our summer reading list for children was extremely popular with emailers. We received over 800 suggestions of books to add to the list. Daphne Muse wrote in to make sure that the list had more books by African-American authors. While the recommendations made by your critics are probably good books, she writes, they do not represent the breadth of themes created for the minds and spirits of so many children who are continually marginalized. She suggests authors such as Joseph Bruchac, Virginia Hamilton, Jacqueline Woodson, Naomi Shabib Nye, Gary Soto, and Alan Say. Thanks for the suggestion. If you'd like to see our list, by the way, you can go to our website, www.npr.org, and just select the page for Talk of the Nation. And finally, a week ago, we spoke with Dr. Louis Uccellini, director of the National Centers for Environmental Predictions, about a new supercomputer used to make more accurate long-term weather forecasts. We asked Dr. Uccellini what kind of weather players might expect for the final rounds of the U.S. Open just outside of Chicago, and here's his forecast given a week ago for this past weekend.
They will have an issue to deal with on Saturday and Sunday. The new model runs coming out are indicating the potential for a system producing rain just south of Chicago on Saturday and Sunday.
Dr. Uccellini, welcome back to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
And I gather it slid a little bit further south of Chicago.
Yeah, it was an active weather pattern last week. The system for the weekend that we were predicting on Monday actually came in a little bit faster, but stayed further south and east and headed right towards the Mid-Atlantic region on Friday night and Saturday and produced flood-producing rains in that area.
Well, thanks a bunch for that. But on the other hand, I wonder, do you ever have a problem? I mean, everybody always complains that, you know, they're never right about the weather. But do you get more complaints when you're incorrect and it's nicer than you thought?
Generally not. You know, as you trend towards an event, if you start flip-flopping all over the place, you do get lots of complaints. If you see a trend developing in the models as you approach an event and are on top of that trend, the local forecasters usually deal with that and usually get it right as you approach the event.
Well, there was a pretty nice couple of last days for the U.S. Open south of Chicago, and I guess you'll have to take your lumps, and the fact is you do get it right the vast majority of the time.
Well, the short-range forecast certainly had it right, and the forecasters who planned for the Open, I think, did a nice job on it. And they got the golf tournament off without a hitch.
Dr. Uccellini, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Louis Uccellini is the director of the National Centers for Environmental Predictions in Greenbelt, Maryland. We read from your emails on Mondays. You can reach us at totn@npr.org. Please remember to include the topic of your letter in the subject line. Also, tell us where you're writing from, your name, and any pronunciation tips we might need. This some weeks we need a lot. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.